Hi, Chevra. It's always a schuss to be together. It's a schuss to prepare for the Heilige Shabbos Kodesh. Tonight, more than prepare for Shabbos, but also to prepare for Chanukah. Habalinu Toyva Bez Hashem Karov. Before we begin, just all the Torah tonight, all the Chizuk tonight, all the Sayers tonight. It's being sponsored by Leon Lishvas, a very, very special person. It's being sponsored by Ben and Yael Englander, who I feel very, very close to, parents of many different Talmidim of mine, all their beautiful, Heilige children. It's Chai Kalman and Yosef Aminoam, and Aiden, and Chavir knows Josh, Kira, incredible people, a very, very, very special family, Umamishar. Are like family to me in ways. And they're sponsoring Leilui Nishmas, Yael's father, who was Nifter 1 month ago, Shloshim was this past week, Tuvia ben Yishayo, Zeches Hadachash Bracha. Leilui Nishmaso for the Shloshim, Mirz Hashem, all the Torah, all the Chizuk, all the Zohar, should be a big schus, Leilui Nishmaso, and he should be a male Tioshev for this beautiful family. Now, Ted Goldsmith, Zatzal, he was somebody that, the way I've heard, the way when I read about and hear it, when I remember hearing about his life, from his daughter, from his grandchildren, it was like an Ish Emes. He was somebody who loved all that we're supposed to love. He loved tefillah, he loved shul, he was the gabbai. He loved learning Torah, and I don't mean just did these things. This is what he loved. He loved people. He loved growing and learning. Mamish, he taught laning to who knows how many children for the bar mitzvah, and he didn't just do it, he loved it. I could tell just hearing the way his family spoke about him. And he also loved Eretz Yisrael. And he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he lived in Eretz Yisrael. And again, it wasn't just that he, it wasn't, oh, you have chairs, come here. He loved Eretz Yisrael. And for me personally, it makes sense, so much so, how his children and grandchildren love Eretz Yisrael. And there are people who, even though they might have a house here, they, Baruch Hashem, they have a place in Yerushalayim, and that's their home. That's the Erker home. And undoubtedly he had a big part in that. So it's a schus to share Torah with Nishmaso. Well, the Torah should be a big, big schus for his neshama. And again, he should be a male Tioshia for his beautiful family until they're all dancing together with him. With Chiyas HaMesim and Gula Shleima b'mehir b'yameinu. It's very appropriate to hear about a tzaddik who loved Eretz Yisrael so much and lived in Eretz Yisrael. Because I just want to announce, this is hopefully the last year ever in Chutz L'Aretz.
Amen! Amen.
Definitely our final year in Chutz L'Aretz before Chanukah. That's why we're going to prepare for Chanukah together. But again, I'm hoping it's the last year ever in Chutz L'Aretz.
Amen.
Amen!
Just for those that, I mean, hopefully we'll all be there, but right now we're scheduled to have shir a little bit early next week. I think we're scheduled for 10:15 next week, but in Eretz Yisrael you have to be a little bit earlier because you can't wait. So shir is going to be, as of now, in Yeshiva and Tevarieh, overlooking the Kaisel, overlooking Kodesh Kedashim, overlooking what will be then the Beis HaMikdash.
Amen.
So, but Emes, Halavai will be Zayt HaMashiach, but even if we're not Zayt HaMashiach, Shir next week will be in the Tivari at 10:15 in Mirz Hashem.
Amen.
And hopefully, from that point on, in Yerushalayim Erev Kodesh, not sure we'll have to discuss the venue, but from that point on, but Bez Hashem is Baruch. Let's learn, and let's prepare for the Heilige Yontif. Because you can't just walk into a Yontif. And I know it's still about a week and a half before the Yontif, but that's a very short time. And if we want to gain all that can be gained, and want to tap into all that can be tapped into, for the Yontif of Chanukah, we have to understand what the Yontif is all about. We have to understand the machshavos of the Yontif. And not just get to, it's beautiful to be with the mishpacha and to sing songs and to light the menorah. That itself, there's a kedusha in that itself. This is something we could all feel. But the more that we understand, the deeper we understand, the more we're going to gain, the more we're going to walk away from the koiches, the shefa, and be a licht geyer all year long. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chafal from Bebe, is a very famous Gemara. This is a source of the story that we've learned from the time we're in nursery and kindergarten. My Chanukah, what is Chanukah? The Tana Rabbanan and our rabbis teach us. Cold, you can close it, I don't know. Whatever you guys want, I don't care either. The Tana Rabbanan b'chafei b'kislev, b'mei Chanukah tamnei inim. Starting with the 25th day of Kislev, again 1 week from Sunday night, there are going to be 8 days of Chanukah. To lo l'miftzud bohom, to lo l'sanus bohom. We're not allowed to have eulogies on those days, lo'olein. Hopefully we won't have any levayas. But if we do, there's no eulogies, that we shouldn't be crying. We're not allowed to fast on them. Can't choose to have a yom tainus. Why? When the Greeks, they entered into the Hechel, they entered into the Beis HaMikdash, Timu kol hashamanim shvechel. They contaminated all the oil, as we all know. But when the Chashmonoim came and were victorious, when they overpowered them, v'nitzchom, and were victorious, badchu v'lomatzu el apach echad shel shemen. They looked and they searched and they only found one jug of oil. Right? We all know the story, but mamish Gemara, b'feirsh Gemara. Shayamunach b'chayis moshal kohen gadol. That one jug, that one pach shemen, had the signature. The signet was sealed with the kohen gadol's signature. V'lo hayaba l'adluk yom echad nasabon eis v'dlikum v'nashamon yamim. It was only enough, only sufficient to last one day, but it lasted 8 days. So the next year, they made that these days should be days of yom to thank Hashem, to praise Hashem. That's Chanukah. My Chanukah. So here's a question, Chavra. This whole idea that we've grown up with our whole life, of the chashivas of this one jug of oil. And part of the chashivas was not just that it was pure and it lasted 8 days and this tremendous miracle, but that it had chayis moishel kohen gadol. We all know that. We all remember this from a young age and it's like a farish gemara. And chayis moishel kohen gadol is the signature, the seal of the kohen gadol. What is the significance in that? And where else do we find such a thing? Is there anywhere that we have a source in a chazal, in a pasuk, that to be pure, it had to have chayis moishel kohen gadol? What if they found one jug, one pach, that was just sealed? And clearly, therefore, by the fact that it was sealed, it was not contaminated. It was sealed in a way that you could tell it was never opened before. You could seal something in such a manner and see it was never opened. Why did it have to have chayis moishel kohen gadol? Do we ever find anywhere else? We're so used to this, so we take it right. Sometimes these type of ideas and these type of Torahs, we're so used to, we're taught from the youngest age, it was a pach shem with chayis moishel gadol, and we like think that was important, that was necessary. Do we find any source that was necessary? And if it wasn't, why is that chashim, and why is that being told to us here? Why is the Gemara tell us it was chayis moishel kohen gadol? What if the Gemara told us, would anything have changed in all of the holiday of Chanukah? They matu b'labarku el apach echad shetar, mach echad shetar, because it was sealed? Isn't that enough? What's the chayis moishel kohen gadol? So I saw something incredible this week from Rabbi Amari, the Shil Pinchas Shlita. But I want to develop it from some other Torahs that I've seen and build upon it. And it's so beautiful. These are, you know, Chevron knows already, those of us we learn together often. These Torahs like lift me up. Because, you know, sometimes it's amazing. This is the beauty in Torah. The Torah is Ein Sof. And the same storyline, and the same psuk, and the same, and that you've learned for the past 42 years, suddenly it's like a whole new understanding of the most simple of ideas that maybe we've taken for granted. So first of all, I want to share, I mentioned this in a woman's shir, maybe some of the chevra heard, but I want to read it to you a little bit. Just one shach al ha-Torah. And this shach al ha-Torah is incredible. And especially the Hosafa of the Birch HaShemuel, the Kaidanoi Verzecha Tzadikot Shvaracha. The Shachar HaTorah says, on our parsha, parsha Vayishlach, where we find, and we all know the episode, it's also that episode that we've learned about from the youngest of ages, that Yaakov goes and fights with the Sar Shel Esav. And we all know, why did he go back to get these Pachim Ketanim? What were these Pachim Ketanim? What were they all about? So the Pasuk famously says, and it's a song, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayivik Yeshima, right? Yaakov was left alone. So the Shachar says, he quotes Amrazal, Al Tikri Levado El Lakado. Vayivaser Yaakov Lakado, to his kad, to his jug. What does he say? Ma'am Balo Zakad, where did this kad come from? Where did this jug come from? And maybe through this we'll understand why he was even going back for it. Right? You ever think about it? He's traveling with his Gantz Mishpacha. They're running, you know, they left Lavan, they're traveling, and he leaves a few jars behind. Shkoyach, so leave them behind. You really gotta go back to get them? You know, imagine what it would be like. You're on a road trip with your whole family. Okay, and you can't imagine what it is to be, maybe you remember at a young age, maybe some of you did this, and you have the whole van is full, and you have two parents and you have five kids, that's nothing compared to Yaakov's family, remember, right? He's got a much bigger mishpacha. And he's traveling the whole Chveisnish family, and you stopped overnight in some hotel, and you're traveling, and you're already an hour away, and you realize, oh man, we forgot six plastic cups. You know, like, okay, shreich, move on. You know, oh, but they were the souvenirs from Great Adventures. You know, the ones free refills, and they had like Chveisnish, like the roller coaster on the outside, and the 10-year-old really liked it. Can we go back? Tati, come on, let's go back. And he's begging to go back. You know what? Even though you do anything in the world for your kid, you're not going back. You're just not going back. Sorry. With all due respect, I'll get you by the next, you know, by the next roller coaster we go to, by the next amusement park. We'll get you another one. You know, it's good for the family, the free refill, if it's worth it. It's okay. So you left a few kadim. But listen to what these kad, now from this Shachar HaTorah, you understand what these kadim were. Listen to what he says. Ma'ayim balo zakad, where this kad come from? You know where this kad came from? Kishi Yaakov sam ha'avanim mirashosav. Yaakov, in last week's parsha, put those stones around his head. And those 12 stones became one stone. Miraculously. V'ishkin baboker matzun evan achas. He woke up in the morning and found one stone. V'nishvatzer lo kad shal shemen v'yitzak al rosha. Somehow, and I said it over in the women's share, I thought the way I understood it, he literally like, carved it out from the stone, but I'm not even sure. I've shown this to a few people, the Lashon bin Svatzer, and it's Nun Tav Beit Sadi Reish. Usually that's a Lashon of butter, like harvesting grapes. Like, so that's why I thought he like cut it off. But it could be it somehow miraculous came to him, but somehow at that moment, there was a Kad Shel Shemen. Again, the way I understand it is he like created it from the stone. But listen to where he goes with this. And he used that oil to pour it on the rest of the stone. We know he made that into a matzeva, right? The chazar akad bin ismole. That kad, that jug, you know what happened to it? It refilled by itself, miraculously. Az yada Yaakov shumazumin lebracha. Yaakov knew that this kad is prepared for bracha. It's a miraculous kad. The omar ein zeh roi lanichu kan. I can't just leave it here. And he took it with him. And therefore, clearly, he had to go back for it. That was the kad. It was a miraculous kad. That's why he went back for it. It wasn't just stam a kad. He kept this forever. He couldn't be without it, because it's nisim gluyim. You're not going to just leave it there. It's chashuv. Something chashuv. You got to keep it with you. I remember, I said this over the woman chair. I don't know where I listened, but you can see I have it downstairs. I'll put Mirza Shem, if everyone wants to see. But I mean, I don't know if it's chashuv now, but as a senior in high school, beginning of senior year, September, October, was 1996. I'm dating myself, but I'm 42, is what it is. Again, I don't know how I became 42, I don't know where the years went. Shem Yirachim. Scary when you think like that, because like I've done nothing yet with my life. It's like, it's a scary thing. But anyways, senior year, so was a big Yankee fan. Big Yankee fan. And I was in MTA at the time. Which, you know, as a senior, you did what you wanted in MTA. And they have in Yavin. So I was at every single game at the end of the season. Like, literally. Then there were a lot of day games back then. But we were literally a 7-minute taxi ride from Yankee Stadium, MTA. It's the best thing ever. So I used to go to, like, every game. All the doubleheaders. Little last 20 games, last 20 home games I was at. All the playoff games. I used to go with my friends. It was incredible. In the World Series. The first time in the World Series in like 20 years. It was the first time in my lifetime. You know, it was like big. So World Series is harder to get tickets. And also, it wasn't like today where you could go online and SeatGeek and StubHub and Chesnesh. I don't know how people got tickets back then, to be honest. So somehow my father, from a client, Game 6, got 2 tickets. It was Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. We go to the game and we missed the top of the first because Matzei Shabbos till we got to the game. And that meant the Yankees won the World Series. It was unbelievable. I don't think I ever sat in the seat even. Like, you stood, it was, I don't know if you guys have been by World Series. I've been at 3 World Series games. Truth is, all 3 were World Series clinching games. I've seen the Yankees win the World Series twice, and then I saw the Royals win the World Series once. It's an all another story in the City Field, the place just over there. But Lemaisa, sitting the second row at that game, that was pretty crazy. But Lemaisa, listen, Chevra. So, but I was this very big Yankee fan. So, Mamish, after they win, I'm like going crazy with all the fans. You know, everyone's hugging each other. You're in the stadium for like an hour after the game. I don't know if you, back in the day, I don't know if you, Wade Boggs is in the middle of the field riding around on a horse. It was nuts. So I get on top of my seat and I'm jumping up and down on the seat. And as I'm jumping up and down the seat, Mamish, completely accidentally, I literally fall through and I break off the seat. Break off to see the Yankee Stadium. I should really call them and I owe them some money. I mean, it's true, this is a new Yankee Stadium. They destroyed that Yankee Stadium, so I don't even know. But I broke through the seat. So the piece, like the flap that you sit on, you know, like that piece, cleanly just broke off. Like I broke the nail, broke off. So when we were ready to leave eventually, I turned to my father. I said, Lemaisa, I mean, I probably didn't use the word Lemaisa back then, but you know what I'm saying. So I said, they're not gonna use this. Again, they're going to rebuild whatever they're going to do. They're going to take a new seat. It was like crack, a little, you know, by the nails cracked. He's like, yeah, they can't, it's not. Like, you can't fix that. So I could take it then. He's like, yeah, I guess so. So I took it. I remember, and I got outside. You know, like outside Yankee Stadium, you're under the train tracks over the subway, and you see like tons of people holding up the seat. And I turned to my phone, I'm like, there's no way these all broke by accident, you know? But anyways, so I had the seat from the game. And it was my connection to that moment, and it was to me very, very chashiv, my seat from the World Series. And I still have it till today. I can't let go of it. You know, I don't have that. I can't say I'm not a Yankee fan, but I don't have that love. I don't have that care anymore. But there's something about it. It brings me back to that moment. I still downstairs. I have this, just the piece you sit on. I have it downstairs. Show the chevra after. Because when something chashiv, something is, you want to keep it with you. So Lahavdil. Yaakov Avinu has this incredible miracle and this stone becomes one and he has this cotton just refilling with oil. So he has to keep it with him. And he forgets it? How could I not go back for that? This is not just some souvenir cups from Hershey Park. This is miraculous oil. And the Shachal Torah continues. You know what happened with this oil? This is the oil that they used to anoint Aaron and his children and all the Kalim and all the Malachim, all the kings. Miraculous oil. And the Berachah Shmuel the Kohen never continues. He takes his Kala Torah, this Shachal Torah, and he says, Vine, listen to this, Chevra. It's pashut in my eyes. Shagam oso hapach nizgala gan kein livnei chashmanoi sheyuchasa b'chayis moshe kohen gadol. It's clear to me that's the pach shemen that they found that was still tahar with the chayis moshe kohen gadol. Mamish, incredible. Incredible, chevra, no? So this Pach Shemen was the Pach Shemen that started by Yaakov from the Avonim in last week's parasha, continued in this week's parasha. until the story of Hanukkah. Now it makes sense also, the Heilig Beis Yosef, right? We have the very famous Beis Yosef's question. You can't talk Hanukkah without mentioning the Beis Yosef's question. Any Dvar Torah, any shir, anything has to also answer the Beis Yosef's question. You didn't say a Hanukkah shir. It's that pashut, right? If you don't know when you just hear Beis Yosef's question, then it means you've never heard one Torah in Hanukkah. Not one. It's clear. Right? The Beis Yosef's questions of why do we celebrate 8 days and not 7 days? That the miracle is only for 7 days. The famous question. The Beis Yosef's in Tav Resh Ayin in the Torah. And the Beis Yosef himself gives a few answers. And throughout time, there's been thousands of answers. There's like whole Svarim with like hundreds of them. But there's literally thousands. Because like I said, every Torah has to also answer this question. So one of his answers himself in the Beis Yosef, Od Yesh Lomar, about the miracle of Chanukah. Shel'acher shenasnu shemen b'ne'eres ha-menorah kishir. After the proper amount was put into the menorah by the Chashmonaim on the first night, nishar ha-pach mole kivatchila. The pach stayed full just like it was originally. V'nikar anes af b'lail rishon, so you had a miracle on the first night. But how does that make such perfect sense? Because what was the pach shemen that they found? It was the pach shemen from Yaakov Avinu that we already learned from the Shachar Torah. It constantly is nismale. Kodesh Kodashim. Wow. I love Torah. Look how this all comes together. But we're just getting started. We still didn't explain why it's Chayis Moshel Kohen Gadol. But before we get there, you understand Chatz Tzadikim? This week's Parsha, this whole fight with Tarshal Esav, it's all Chanukah. The Merinoyim, the Heilig Merinoyim, we're going to learn more from him later. Grandson of the Rav Shitzer. He says, Vayavek Ishimo, the man fought with him, is Gematria 546, which is Shemen B'miloy, Shin Yud Nun, Mem, Mem, Nun Vav Nun, is exactly Gematria, Vayavek Ishimo. It's a remez to the Shemen, to the oil. And it makes so much sense, isn't it the same? What happened when Yaakov fought with the Tzar Shel Esav? Yaakov was damaged, but ultimately victorious. What happens in the story of Chanukah? We're Hellenized, we're damaged, women are being raped, terrible things are going on. But ultimately then we destroy the Yavan. One and the same. Let's read a little bit more. What does the Malach say? What does the Malach say to Yaakov Avinu? Vayomer Shalcheni, send me away. Enough. After he's Shalcheni Kala Shachar. After Yaakov, he realizes he's not going to defeat Yaakov. Shalcheni. The Hil Gazera Kodesh, the Rapshat, the Zayda of the Rinom. Shalcheni is Rashi Tevos, Lahadlik Ner Chanukah Shmona Yom. Lahadlik Ner Chanukah Shmona Yom. That's the victory. It's all Chanukah Dick. But that's the Pach Shemen, it's the Pach of Yaakov. So why is the Pach Shemen after Chachos Moshe going Gadol? Listen to this, Chavra. There's a Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. And the Medrash says, it's in Bamidbar Rabbah, Dalet Ches. Adam HaRishon HaYa B'choro Sha'olam. Adam HaRishon was the B'chor of the world. That's Pashit, it was the first one created, right? But what does it mean he was Bechor of the world? It goes on to explain that basically, to be the Bechor of the world, and we know this was the initial plan, the Bechor were the Kohanim. If you're Bechor of Sholoylam, that means what? You're the Kohen Gadol. And it says, Lavash Bigdei Kuhuna Gadola. The clothing he wore, the Vayas Hashem L'kim L'adam L'shto K'soynes Or, Vayal Bishem, was the big day of the Kohen Gadol. He was the Kohen Gadol. What happened with them? Kevin Shemes Adam, Masun L'sheis. Sheis Masron Mesushalach. So who was the next Kohen Gadol? Sheis, and then Mesushalach. When Mesushalach died, Masron LeNoach. When Noach died, he gave them to Shem. Even though Shem wasn't the Bechor. But Noach saw that the Avos would come from Shem. So he gave it to Shem. He became the Kohen Gadol. What happened when Shem died? Who did he give them to? The Big Day Kohen of the Kohen Gadol? Who became the Kohen Gadol of the world? Avram Avinu. Meis Avram, Umasul Yitzchak. Amad Yitzchak, Umasul Yaakov. Interesting. It's an interesting lashon before he even died, and we'll see what that means in a second, right? Everyone's mace and gave it to the next person. When it got to Yaakov Avinu, it was even before, while Yitzchak was still alive. It was, well, Amad Yitzchak, Umasul Yaakov. So we're starting to see something from this Medrash. Yaakov Avinu was the Bechor Rishol Elam of his door. Meaning Yaakov Avinu wore the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Yaakov Avinu was the Kohen Gadol of his door. Where we see this developed even deeper. The Rabbeinu Bechaye. The Rabbeinu Bechaye teaches us. Where is this Rabbeinu Bechaye? Just going back first for a minute. The Rabbeinu Bechaye going back to Adam Rishon, and we'll see where we're going to have to explain, and we'll get to Yaakov. In Perek Gimel Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Parshas Bereishis, V'yas Hashem L'kim L'Adam L'ishto Kost Nois Or V'yalbi Shem. Rabbeinu Bechaye says, again, just like we just saw in the Medrash, this is the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. And that's why he says, if you count the words in this Pasuk, V'yas Hashem L'kim L'Adam L'ishto Kost Nois Or V'yalbi Shem, he says there are eight words connected to the eight big tikkun of the Kohen Gadol. Shmaina Begadim. So Adam Rishon had the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. And the Medrash seems to say that eventually it will give it to Yaakov Avinu. Where do we see he got this? How do we know? If you look, the Parshas told us, V'tikach Rivka's big day Esav, B'noha Gadol HaChamudos. Rivka took, we know, the clothing of Esav, the chamudos, the precious ones, and they put it on Yaakov, right? If you look in Targum Yonah ben Uzziel, what were these begadim chamudos? They're begadim of Adam. That somehow Esav had the begadim of Adam. And now Rivka puts them on Yaakov, while Yitzchak is still alive. Ishto kagufo, they're one and the same, so Rivka is like Yaakov. Yitzchak put them on him. Amad Yitzchak, the masul Yaakov. Where do we see it? It's these clothing that Esav somehow had. These clothing that Esav had, which is a famous story after Ritzicha from Mizushalach, when right, so Chavr knows this. He had this clothing, which the clothing going Gadol, which went to Yaakov Avinu. And by the way, if you look in the Yerushalmi and Megillah, Daf Yudalid, one less makar to bring this together, Atikach Rivka's big day Esav ben Agadol Chamudos, Mahu Achamudos Shoyu Mishamish Bikuna Gedula. It's the begotten of Kohen Gadol. Chevra, you see where we're going with this? Chevra, you see where we're going with this? Based on the Shachal Torah, the Birch Shmuel explains, the Pach Shemen that we found, the Pach Shemen that's the whole miracle of Chanukah that we're trying to connect to, was what? It was really the Pach of Yaakov Avinu. It was the Pach of Yaakov Avinu that he went back for in this week's Parsha, because it was this miraculous oil that anointed all the Kelim, anointed Aaron. That's the Pach Shemen. So you know why it was important that it was Chayis Mashal Kohen Gadol? That's not what you've been taught your whole life. It's not what you think. Zok Deil Gashvil Pinchas, and he brings more Makaris from this, from Big Tzadikim, but we'll say it in his name. You know why it's significant that it was Chayis Mashal Kohen Gadol? I'm not talking about the Kohen Gadol of the time, the Cheshvanayim. Kohen Gadol is Yaakov Avinu. It's reminding us and be meramis to us that this Pach Shemen was the Pach of Yaakov Avinu. It was going back to the fight with the Sar Shel Esav, going back to those Avonim, that we're tapping into the beginning of Klal Yisrael, and it's one continuity as the Eibishter watches over us, Beidor Lador, and He's always by our side. And we're reminding that again. It's in the Neis of Chanukah. That's the Chayis Moshel Kohen Gadol. That's the Chayisma Shekohen Gadol. It's the Chayisma of Yaakov Avinu, Chevra. When we light the menorah, we're not just being a Kohen Gadol. We're being Yaakov Avinu. We're wearing the clothing of Yaakov Avinu when we light the menorah. Each and every one of us, and we have to believe that. Messiah Gia, Messiah L'Messiah Vasai. When? You know when you reach that? On Chanukah. On Chanukah, I'm a Kohen Gadol. On Chanukah, I'm Yaakov Avinu. Our oil is that same oil. When you fill up your menorah, it's that Pach Shemen. And that's who we are, we're B'nai Yisrael. We don't say we're B'nai Yitzchak, or B'nai Avram, or B'nai Adam, or B'nai Matisyo, Kohen Gadol. We're B'nai Yisrael. I'm Yaakov Vino, I'm Tiferes. And you have to believe in that. So this alone is just incredible, just to hear in Mamish, earth-shattering, to see the story of Chanukah, and to understand the nays, and understand the oil. But here we don't leave it at that. Let's talk with Derech Avod in a deeper way. We see that there's tremendous connection to this whole fight, this of Sar Shleis of Chanukah. By Avik Yishimo, we said Shemen and Shalchini, Ma'adr. Chanukah, right? And the Pach is that Pach. So again, that you saw it itself, just to realize it's all Yaakov Dick, and believe that each and every one of us can be and are descendants of that, and have that biological makeup itself as a chizik. But what else can we learn from this? Because there must be, deep in this story, so much being taught to us for the story of Chanukah, and not just the story of Chanukah, for what we should walk away with from Chanukah. So listen close to Chanukah. Where'd the Malach, the Sar Shel Esav, where'd the Malach hit Yaakov Avinu? We all know. The Yerech. In Yerech Yaakov. In the thigh of Yaakov. There has to be a lot of significance in that. A lot to be merames to us. What's the gematria of Yerech Yaakov? Yerech Yaakov. It's a lot. Anyone going to go? Yerech is 230. Yerech, 230. Yaakov, we should know. We've said over Yaakov many, many 182. Times. 182, very good. Thank you. So what's 182 plus 230? Oh, I should love it. Beautiful. 412. You know what 412 is? 412 is Gematria Bias. 412 is Gematria Bias. Our home, our house. You know what Sar Shel Esav was hitting Yaakov, B'Yerech Yaakov? You know where he was hitting him where it counts? Mamash, where it counts? To destroy the bias. That he understands that the Kedush of Klal Yisrael is dependent on the bias. Is on the home. The home is our foundation. The home is where we have our safety net, our shmira, how are you soid? Yerech Yaakov is the home. The world is a crazy world. And it only gets crazier by the day. The world is Olam Deshikra, is a world of Sheker. Sheker like we can't imagine. Where it's gone with politics. If I start to talk about it, then no one else is going to be able besides us to hear this shir, so I'm not going to start, because then that's it. It's going to be like back on the porch. You know where I go. Someone says there's still a recording of that. I don't know who has it, but it was what it is. L'maisa. But it's Olam D'Shikrov. Let's be real. You can't. It's not worth it. I don't know why anyone wastes even 1 minute of their lives like reading news or read everything is such subjective reality of Sheker. It's crazy. It's scary. The world we live in is very, very scary. The world doesn't know just black from white anymore. To Mamish, there's no such thing. You can't even say that. I don't know. Maybe you can't even say that. You can't even say this black. It's not black. It's white with but looks black. It's not white. It's not such thing white. It's black. It just looks white. You know, like I don't know. Face it. I don't know if you're allowed to say black and white. Nothing's like you can't have colors. It has to all be rainbow. I'm even yavin. You know, there's no such thing. There's no. No one's allowed to be anything anymore. It's scary. It's a very scary world. It's not, nothing is MS. Nothing's MS. Nothing's MS. But that's a world we live in. And then not just nothing is MS. It's a world steeped in taiva. Sickening. It used to be maybe like there was a mutter outlet of the world of entertainment for some. And whether that be some quote unquote kosher shows and to go have a nice night out and go maybe to some sort of play or to, don't know what, whatever it might be. Obviously, everyone in their old world and where they're holding, I never judge anybody. What do I know? I know nothing. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could go with this. Now the whole world is just a world of taiva. Nothing is not taiva. And the way that people dress and the way that people talk and the way, it's mamish. It's a scary world. Very, very scary world. And I see people falling tremendously in this world. But that's inevitable. And that's nothing that we're in control of. And guess what? Every single one of us is going to have to be on some level in that world. And it's very important that every single one of you earns a parnasa. And very possibly, your parnasa is going to be somewhat delving into and dabbling in that world, with people in that world. And you're going to have to learn how to let things slide and what not to be a part of and what... Again, it's an avoda, but we're in that. We live in that world. We can't deny that. What's the biggest shmira then? The biggest shmira is at least we have a bias. At least we have a home that we can come back to and remember what emes is. Remember what kedusha is. Remember what tahir is. Remember what it is to be a yid. You know what the Malach was hitting Yerach Yaakov? The Malach said, I got you on the outside world, so only, but I got to get your bias. Yerach Yaakov, I'm going to destroy your bias. Because that's the only way. Matoy v'lech Yaakov. That's how we stay Kaddosh. That's how we play pure. That's how we stay grounded and proper. That we have a Kaddoshic bias to balance out the outside world so I don't fall into it. But sadly, we're living in a world where the bias is not Kaddish anymore. We're living in a world now where many homes, the Sar Shalisov is winning and defeating and continuously damaging the Yerach Yaakov. And when we live in a door where we bring the outside world into the home in the way that it's been brought in, Pachad Moira, we don't have the home anymore. For generations, at least we had the home. But with the world of technology, the world that we live in, in many, 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 many homes, that whole outside world of Sheker, that whole outside world of Taiva, is also now in the bias. And if it's also in the bias, where are we going to have our Kedusha? Where is going to be our protection? Where is going to be our Shemira? If we allow that in the bias. And I see it with teenagers who are so prone and young and don't have strength to have self-control and know what to use the internet for and what to use their phone for. And it's no end and falling to the lowest of places. I have no shot of them being able to balance out and having a life of Kedusha and Tahara. And a parent wants to know, why is my kid not like learning? Why is my kid not like davening? Why is my kid not want to go to shul on Shabbos? Because when he's 13, you handed him a pornography machine in his pocket. And therefore his whole life is just running after taivas and seeing every single crazy olam de shikra nightly and so there's no MS left because the bias isn't kaddish. And yes, I'm not one, please, there's a lot of good that can be gained from technology if used properly with the proper, but to have in our homes, that in our homes we could have and open up to the whole world without proper filters and without proper gedarim and without is spiritual suicide. It's bringing Sar Shel Esav and destroying Yerach Yaakov. That's emes what it's doing. If you want to know the stats, if you want to see how many teenagers are mamish falling to the lowest of places every single night, and we know it, every one of us. Let's be real. And if it's not shkoyach, and if it's not mamish quote-unquote pornography, so with the world of TikTok, and the world of FaceTime, and the world of Snapchat, and the world of all, and oilam de shikra, and the amount of bittelsman, the amount of wasted time. And just hearing all the viewpoints of the whole world, which is full, what does that do to me? It confuses me, it's bilbul. It doesn't allow me to see Torah, so it doesn't allow me to see purity, it doesn't allow me to see MS. And ultimately, then I don't have my bias anymore. I don't have my bias anymore. And that's what Sar Shel Esav understood. That's Matoy v'Lech Yaakov. That's our foundation. And guys, you know me. I'm not, I'd be normal. I want Chever to be normal and have beautiful lives and and enjoy life and enjoy nice things. But MS, in this area, we have to be strong. And we have to protect our homes. And each and every one of you, we have here two Hassanim, Charlie and Leo, and you're about to build your bias. And the rest of us in the room, many in the room are dating and thinking towards that or close to, and you think about it, you're going to build a bias. And we live in a world where it's not the in thing to have filters on the internet in the bias. It's not the in thing maybe. And you think, what do you mean? Well, you can't control yourself. You can't control yourself to not look. But there's so little you could look at. It's not going to alter your mindset and your understanding and being able to be Shmira and Kedusha. Again, there's tremendous amounts of Torah, there's tremendous amounts of growth and that you can gain from, of course. But the negative way outweighs the positive. And therefore, if you don't have serious filters and serious ways of protection, then you can't even have it at all in the house, Father. Not even a question. And be real and be honest. Rav Avraham Shor, Shlita, has the most beautiful Torah in the Sefer Chanukah. And why we light the menorah inside. Have you ever seen this? I showed you inside after such a piece. Because if you learn the halacha, go learn Shulchan Aruch, learn the Mechaber. Where's the menorah supposed to be? Outside, b'chutz. Menorah is not supposed to be inside by the window the way we do it. You go to Yerushalayim, you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's done outside. Can't wait, Mamish, can't wait. You know the last time I lit a menorah in Yerushalayim or Kodesh? Last time I lit a menorah in Yerushalayim or Kodesh? It was before I was married. Last time I lit a menorah in Yerushalayim or Kodesh was my shot of bed, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It was December, it was Kislev. 1998, I'm going to say. Kislev of 1998, or maybe 1999. Maybe it was there also then. Could be Kislev of 1999. Whatever. It's just a few years ago. I'm going to be Zoyche, Mir Tashem, to light a menorah in Yishlaim HaKadosh. Feet from the Makom Migdash where the menorah was lit, and will be lit. Can't wait, it's Mamish. Oh, it's going to be amazing. Oh. You'll be there. Don't worry. You'll be there. I know you're thinking, you'll be there. Pes Hashem. Rav Shor says, why did we come? Because by the way, you go through all the answers of why we like the menorah. By the way, hopefully I won't have to be here this year at all. I mean, right now, I'm for sure going to be in Yerushalayim the first two nights. I hope to be here. But if I have to come back here, so we light one menorah outside always. Because that's where it's supposed to be lit. All the answers you learn, then goes through, and you have the Chves Nesh, the Itter, and you have the Aruch HaShulchan, and you have... None of the answers are so good. It's very cold outside. Lemaisa here, it's not that cold outside. I haven't put on a coat yet, you know. Meaning, Lemaisa, you could be outside for a few minutes and light the menorah, you'll be fine. It's not like so freezing here. And as far as the wind, you get the glass case the same way you do in Shlaim, and it protects it. I light it every night here, it's fine. And if you're afraid of Ganavim, so who's to say, if the Iker Mitzvah is to light outside, who's to say so that... It's more chashiv to have a hiddur in your menorah and have a silver menorah. Maybe have a cheap menorah and do the ikar mitzvah and do it in the proper place. So I don't put my silver menorah outside. I put a plush menorah outside that no one in their right mind would steal. Why would you steal it? It's not worth anything. Well, and you have Gzeiras HaShemad, and once we changed because of Shemad, maybe you have to keep it that way. That's a possibility. We do see that by shofar. But Lamaisa, we see that Lemaisa, it seems to be it should be lit outside. But this is what Rav Shor says. You know what Rav Shor says? Maybe he means it b'machshava, maybe he means it b'alacha. It's so beautiful. The light of menorah is the light of kedusha, of holiness. The light kiner mitzvah Torah, the light of Torah, the light of connection to Hashem. The light of our lives. So as it used to be for generations, the home, the haim, was kadosh. The home was pure. The home was Torah. The home was mitzvahs. The home was family. The home was your shmirah from the outside crazy world. So where'd you light the menorah? Where'd you need more chizik? Where'd you need more light? Outside, to be mechazik, that outside world. He says in this day and age, sadly, unfortunately, with technology and what's happened, we need the menorah inside. We need to be Makadish and bring Torah inside. Because sadly, we don't have that same bias. Because there's been a Ve'ode Kishimo of Yerach Yaakov Gematria bias. So let's be Makadish, let's make sure and take upon ourselves, as you guys, every one of you, you're the new door, and you're going to be building Batim. A bias of Kedusha. A bias of Kedusha. A house full of Torah and Tefillah. And just family time. Forget about Torah and Tefillah for a moment. Just family time. Not families that are all in their own rooms, on their phones, and on their internet, and watching shows, and Snapchatting their friends all day, don't even know how to talk to their friends. So how's a husband going to talk to a wife? It's the most unhealthy thing in the world. I see the ability just to communicate between people. The ability for teenagers to communicate. The ability for husband and wife to communicate. Ability for parents to communicate with children, children to care and to communicate with each other. For children and siblings to just play with each other. Go outside and have a football catch. Build Lego, play games, talk. No, just sit on my phones. In my own room, in my own mukko, my own place. Snapchatting and Facebooking my friends that I was with all day and sitting next to them in the pizza store. Also WhatsApping them. You see it, go Central Avenue. You see on a Friday afternoon, and the next door, 10 year olds and 11 year olds, and they're out Friday, and same way I was out with my friends on Fridays, is to look forward coming out from Yeshiva and go Fridays on Central Avenue, and go out to pizza, and there used to be a Hallmark with video games in the back, and played NBA Jam in the back, and it was very exciting, and as always you felt independent, and it was great. But you know what, that was wholesome, that was real. We didn't have phones, we spoke to each other, we had communication, we developed relationships. Now, even in your own home, you're not developing relationships. Kedushas Habayis. That's Chanukah. Light the menorah inside. Light the menorah inside. But you know what else I was thinking about? You know what the bias is? Something each and every one of you should yearn for. And it takes work. I'm talking to our Chassanim as well here, Charlie and Elio. I'll tell you, incredible this came to me. So it wasn't just hit by Yerach Yaakov. Where did the Malach hit Yaakov? In Kaf Yerach Yaakov. The Lashon of the Pasuk. Vateka Kaf Yerach Yaakov. So descriptive. You know what Kaf is? Kaf is the ball on the top of the thigh that goes into the hip, basically. The Kaf of the Yerach, the top of the Kaf is like a spoon-like, right? That goes in. Why does it have to be so descriptive? What do you have to know exactly this point on the thigh? Like, why is that so important? So maybe Derech Remez. If you take the gematria, listen closely, Tzadikim. If you take the gematria of Kaf Yerech Yaakov, so we said Yerech Yaakov is 412. But Kaf is what? Kaf, how much is Kaf? 100. So 512. So Kaf Yerech Yaakov, the downfall is 512. What's going to defeat that? If you take the gematria, Chasan Kala. Chasan Kala. Chasan Kala together is exactly 513. Can't make this stuff up. Chasan Kala is 513. You want to defeat the Teika Kaf Yerach Yaakov that's getting at our bias and the Kedusha of the bias? You need a Chasan and Kala. And why specifically Chasan Kala? Because Chasan Kala dream big. When you're a chassan and kala, and you guys know it, you dream of this incredible life of shalom bayis. This incredible life where there's going to be such a communication and such a relationship and such love and being best friends your whole life. And sadly, I deal with a lot of relationships, guys. It doesn't always pan out that way. A lot of couples have a lot of issues in their life. And they were so excited and so one, and then mamas are fighting and difficulties and... And Emma says all people do it a little bit, somewhat. But that shouldn't be the majority of the time. It shouldn't be as often as it is in so many couples. Chasan and Kala have that dream and know what Shalom Bayis they want for themselves. That's what has to be always. That's what defeats the Sar Shel Esav. That's what builds our bias as well. The bias is built on ensuring that it's Kadosh, and it's something we have to work harder than ever in our generation in the bias. Harder than ever. Wasn't when I grew up, there was no problem. with that. My parents, what were they keeping out of the house? Okay, we didn't have even cable in my house growing up. We had a TV. You know how many channels were on that TV? I think it was like 5 channels. Because like some reasons, I don't know, like went 1 through 12. But like each other one worked. Like, you know, like 1, 3, 5. I don't know why you had the other channels. The middle channels were like snow. You know, like the snow. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? You know, so you had like every other channel was snow and then a channel. Snow and then a channel. You know, like, there was no 12. No. There was no 10. I remember it. There was no, the even number. There was all the odd numbers. No, there was 4. There was 4 and 5. What, it went from 4. 4 and 5 worked both. ABC, NBC, maybe. 4, 5, 7. Why 4 and 5 work? I don't know. 2 worked. 1 didn't work. 7, 9, 11. Oh, yeah, you're holding in the numbers. 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13. That's what it was. Why was 4, 5 to go like that? Why 4 or 5 next to each other? I don't know. Until we have to find out. Someone needs to be an expert in TVs. But that's all. So you know what? Shkoyach, shkoyach. And all day, all the channels, you know, there wasn't anything much that was inappropriate. That came on, Chvestis, 9 o'clock at night. So I remember when the show, when I was a kid, and Chvestis, I was a young kid, I was in elementary school, maybe 6th grade, 7th grade, and then a show, I remember Beverly Hills 90210. I wasn't allowed to watch it. My parents were good, so I wasn't allowed to watch it. I wasn't allowed to watch it. I can't say, you know, Chvestis, I wasn't allowed to watch it. And what? There were 2 TVs in the house, one in my parents' room, one in the Chvestis in the living room. And it was, there was no, like, so everyone would for sure see what you're watching also. You couldn't, like, there was no problem with yichud, with like, we have with our cell phones, you know? You didn't have that issue. But again, there's another part of the bias that makes it kaddosh, and that's the shalom bias. And the shalom bias between a husband and a wife creates the whole hargasha in the house. It creates the whole feeling in the house. And has a tremendous effect, not just on the husband and wife, has a tremendous effect on the children. And how the children take to their parents. And how the children feel comfortable. And how the children have simchas chayim. And how the children feel about Yiddishkeit. Because if you think you're going to be this Ben Torah and Talmud Chacham, and you sit and learn, and you have your Shemayim, and you have Peis, and you have Tzitzis, and you have Chvezdish, and you tell your kid you want him to go to Minyan, but you're fighting with your wife, and you don't treat her properly, and you don't have the proper kavod, and you're not willing to put her above yourself. And you're not willing to even sometimes give up Ruchnius for your wife. You know, your children are going to smell that in 1 second. You know what they're going to hate? They're going to hate their bias. They're going to feel uncomfortable with their parents, and they're going to have, and also, since you're someone who stands for Torah and Yiddishkeit, it must be Torah and Yiddishkeit is also bad. Because why do I want that if that's what it brings? I'm telling you, MS. Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah. Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, the most important is with your wife, and the Shalom Bayis. You know the Gemara, famous Gemara in Kedushin, first daf of the second parak, v'after le'ircha kamocha, and the Gemara says that's the raya of aser lekadosh isha shad shir ena. You're not allowed to get engaged until you see the woman. Shema, why? Because maybe you're going to see her and you're not going to like how she looks, and you may over him v'after le'ircha kamocha. Remember once years ago seeing in a sefer kesef nivchar al Torah, we learn from here that you see all of after le'ircha kamocha with a woman is with your wife. It's the biggest Kiyam of Avdei Chamocha with your wife. Avdei Chamocha, with who? With your wife. And you know how much your children are going to gain from that? You know what your bias is going to be like that? And that's going to build Yiddishkeit for all them and for you yourself. So bias sometimes but takes work. It means you're willing to work. It means you're willing to work through and communicate and go from help be and read up on the subject. Make sure you're not just you're a giving person. You know how to give to your wife. You know how to communicate. You know how to understand her. But most importantly, you always put her above yourself. It's easier. And a chasen and kala. So chasen and kala, because a chasen and kala, of course you want to do that. It's fresh, it's new, it's exciting. Chaver, be a chasen and kala your whole life. Don't stop being a chasen and kala. You should always be a chasen and kala, and that's how you defeat Kaf Yerach Yaakov. And that as well is the yisod of Chanukah. Because again, all this Sar Shalesa we're saying is Chanukah with all the Ramazim we said. Chanukah is ner issue beso. It's an interesting lashon. It's ner issue beso. It's all about the bias. I'm going to tell you something else, an interesting halacha b'chanukah. It's a very interesting halacha of Chanukah that the Mishnah Berurah brings down, and maybe some of your homes don't keep by this minhag, and it's fine if they don't, because the Ikar halacha doesn't necessarily take this into account. But bottom line is, we know by Chanukah licht. So just like men are mechuyev in Neres Chanukah, women are mechuyev in Neres Chanukah. Even though it's a mitzvah sensations man grama, even though it's a time bound mitzvah, positive time bound mitzvah, generally nashim pituras, afheno yubos anes. They were also part of the miracle, whether they were involved in the miracle because the Yehudis played a crucial role, whether they were saved together with us, two different ways to understand afheno yubos anes. But they're mechuyev in Neres Chanukah. If a woman lives alone, she has a chiyev just like a man to light Neres Chanukah. If a woman lights Neres Chanukah, she could be mekayim for a man, even. But the general minhag by most homes is that wives don't light Chanukah menorah. Now, by the way, if your mothers do, you continue to let them, and they can make a bracha. They're mechuyev. But Mishnah Berurah brings down that generally women don't. I think that's most accepted, more accepted. Married women for sure. Single women, it depends. Yesh v'yesh. Why not? Very strange reason why not, the Mishnah Berurah says. Because ishto kagufo. Ishto kagufo, the man and the wife are one unit, are one. Ishto kagufo. Now it's beautiful, ishto kagufo. Again, Leo, Charlie, and all of us, we should be zeche, always be ishto kagufo. But that's a beautiful idea by Machshava. Right? We all know the famous story about Rav Aryeh Levine. How Rav Aryeh Levine walked into the doctor with his wife whose leg was hurting terribly and said, Chevre, all knows the line, our leg hurts. That's ishto kagufo. We should all be zocha to live that. The machshava. But do we find that kalacha ishto kagufo? Where do you find that lacha ishto kagufo? Do you find lel seder with a mitzvah of dal kosos? So you know what? You drink dal kosos, ishto kagufo, your wife doesn't have to drink dal kosos. Do we say that? Vadanish, no. We say, ah, Megillah on Purim, you go to the Megillah, your wife doesn't have to go. You know why? Ishto kagufo. We don't say that. Suddenly, Neres Chanukah ishto kagufo. Now it's true. The Ikar mitzvah is only one person needs to light. That's the minhag svarad of even bizman as far as the highest level of the mitzvah. But us Ashkenazim, who all light, so mahadim and mahadim, everyone should light. Why doesn't the wife light? Why do we suddenly ishto kagufo? She doesn't light. Maybe this is it. Because the whole yisod of Chanukah is ishto kagufa. It's to rebuild the bias and the kedusha of the bias, to bring the menorah inside. And to defeat the sar shel esav and have a bias full of kedusha. And part of that bias full of kedusha is making sure that whatever is in the bias is kadosh. But it's also having the proper shalom bias and showing your family and showing your wife ishto kagufa, we're one. And I'm putting my wife above myself, we're one unit. We're one unit. There's a beautiful story by the Hilge Chafetz Chaim. The Hilge Chafetz Chaim had a Rebbe, Rav Nachumka. Imagine this Rebbe, Rav Nachumka. Rav Nachumka was, must imagine the Rebbe of the Chafetz Chaim. Can't even imagine. A Rebbe of the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Nachumka. So one time the Chafetz Chaim went to watch his Rebbe light Chanukah licht. It's a well-known story, maybe some of you heard this. And he gets to his house, bizman, a lot of machloik is what the best zman is, but everybody, somewhere between Shkia and Seis Rabbeinu Tam, those 72 minutes, all the different shitos fall within those 72 minutes. There's like 30 different shitos, 15 minutes after Shkia, 25. You guys all remember in Yeshiva, everyone hocking about this. What's the best time? It's min muvchur, mahadrim min mahadrim. Okay, shkoyach. Sometime within those 72 minutes is the best time to light the menorah. Okay? So he's ready and he goes to his Rebbe's house. He wants to watch his Rebbe light the licht. And time goes by. And those 72 minutes fully pass by. And an hour passes by and 2 hours pass by and he's not laying the menorah. And the Chafetz Chaim is sitting learning and watching and whatever it was and like he doesn't understand what's going on. His Rebbe looked at his Rebbe. And like a few hours later, late into the night, seemingly even, I don't know, the way I read the story, I don't know if it was after, but the way in those days, it must have been even after Achetich L'Regem HaNashok. His wife finally walks in. Reb Nachum Kor's wife walks in. And when his wife walks in, she comes by. He says, welcomes her in with such love, and he says, oh, it's time to light the Chanukah Licht. And he makes the beautiful brachas and lights the Chanukah Licht, and they sing the songs. You know the halacha, let's say you only have enough money Friday nights for either Neres Shabbos or Neres Chanukah? If you only have enough for one, Neres Shabbos Adif. Neres Shabbos Adif. Neres Shabbos Adif, you know why? Shalom Bayis is Adif. And now we understand tonight, all of Chanukah is about Shalom Bayis. So Vada, you got to go with the mitzvah which is Pegiloi Shalom Bayis. And that's what Nachum taught to Chavetz Chaim. Yeah, there's all different types of chumras, or even halachos. Shalom bayis adif. Shalom bayis adif. Ish toku gufa. And don't forget this. It's a beautiful yisod. It's so much depth to learn and see how the oil of Chanukah is the oil of Yaakov Avinu and this incredible sushta of the shach and that's the chayis mishakon gadol. B'derech lamdus and b'derech. A little Hasidish alum, it's an incredibly so and mamish life altering, and to feel like you're the Kohen Gadol and the Yaakov Avinu. But way more important than that, I believe deeply in Torah B'Marames by alluding and connecting to this fight with the Sar Shalezev, which is against Yarech Yaakov with the bias. The whole Chanukah is lighting up the house. We light up the house to make sure the house is always Kadosh. And we light up the house to make sure I have a house full of Shalom bias. I have a house where I'm going to always put my wife above myself. I'm going to always treat her like mamish. The way I would treat the biggest God Adar in the world, but even with much more Ahava. And be Moser Nefesh, even my learning, and even my davening. Shalom Bayis Adif. Then we'll have a Lichtika Chanukah and a Lichtika life full of Simcha, full of Bracha, for each and every one of you, and all of your beautiful Mishpachas. Amen.